Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
I'm going to spend most of this episode very carefully watching my laptop screen, because this morning Paul and I recorded our After the Checkered Flag F1 series, and halfway through the microphones dropped out.
Oh, not again.
Yeah, and I didn't, don't say not again, because that's not usually what happens. Usually what happens is my computer gets overloaded and it just stops recording. This is a new issue that's never happened before, and I didn't realize until Paul had left, and I was like, oh. So I'm just sitting here like nervously kind of waiting for that issue to happen again. By the way, apologies to all of you that listened to After the Checkered Flag early this week and noticed that halfway through the audio quality suddenly got a lot worse. That's now why. But yeah, I don't want it to happen again. So apologies if you're watching here on the Behind the Glass YouTube channel and you think I look distracted, or you think that I'm looking down at my screen more than I'm looking at Tony. I am, because I just don't want to suffer any technical issues. Anyway, fingers crossed.
We're all right for now.
I hope so. Is the camera recording? Yes, I think it is. I don't know. I'm a mess.
What's wrong with you today?
Full of anxiety. Because I hate it. I hate it when things like this go wrong. And it's just, anyway. So we're going to move on.
You get anxiety, don't you?
I do get anxiety. Yeah. I suffer anxiety quite badly. Yeah. Not like, I think it's become a bit in vogue these days. It's like, oh, got anxiety. But it is a real problem. And people do really suffer from it. I don't suffer from it in a crippling way, but I am easily made anxious.
Has it got better as you've become more experienced?
No, my anxiety is about different things now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, but as I say, anxiety is too broad a term. I say I just become anxious about certain things. I'm an overthinker.
Right, cut it out.
So there's no reason why this should go wrong, but I'm sitting here going, but it could. So I just need to let it go.
But what will be, boy.
There we go. That's what right. It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to kick things off today by firstly thanking all of you for your fantastic feedback on last week's in-depth episode with Max Chilton.
Yeah.
It was different. Well, we love doing it. We want to do more of these in-depth episodes with loads of different guests. And so it was ace that Max agreed to come on. He was a fascinating guy, actually.
Nice lad, isn't he?
Super nice guy. Gave us some great insight into the world of Formula One and his world of cars.
Yeah.
Now classics, which you hated. But anyway, we move on.
Well, I did appreciate that thing he pulled up in. But I mean, I wouldn't want it. But I mean,
you understood it.
I understood it, and I do understand old cars. Don't forget, I'm an 80s baby, so I do understand. I've owned a few of them. Not a 911 RS, but you know, but it is one good reason, because I remember how bad they were in the 80s and the 90s, so that's why I dislike them.
You've been there, done that.
Don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Paid the bill.
There we go. but the feedback on that episode was fantastic. It was great to see and encourage us to go ahead and do more, so stay tuned, because yeah, in the months ahead, hopefully we're going to have loads of other guests, not just from the sort of car world, but people who are obviously into cars.
Well, we might have some juicy ones, mightn't we?
I hope so. We've got a few that we're trying to line up, so stay tuned.
Pipeline.
Yeah. Anyway, did you notice the car parked outside the unit as you arrived today?
Well, I did, yeah.
You want to tell the ladies and gentlemen what it was?
Well, yeah, it was a new shape RS3.
which has very kindly been lent to me by the Outer UK Press Office.
Lovely colour.
I disagree. So I said this in the video that I started filming at the weekend. I love the Outer UK Press Office. One of the best, actually.
Just are
on
they?
On a personal, individual level, they're great human beings. But they're also super supportive. They're one of those press offices that basically never want to say no. So they're great, and I love them for that.
Who's the worst? Oh, you can't really say, can you? Well, you can if you're not going to use them anymore.
Yeah, maybe I won't say just yet. There's a few that I've fallen out with because I've said horrible things about their cars and they haven't been too happy about that.
A Porsche and Audi your favourite?
Not, a favourite's the wrong word, but probably the two bare, who am I going to piss off here? They're probably the two best in the sense of I can lob them any idea
to
and
deal
they
with.
Pretty much say yes. Like I can be like, I want to do this. And they're like, let's try and make it work.
Ferrari could be quite difficult.
Ferrari are pretty good, but it's just a longer process. Okay. Again, they want to assist, but it's all a bit like, well, the car's not available for another 6 months and, oh, mileage restrictions and, oh, we don't want this and we don't want that. But genuinely, they're pretty good.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, Porsche and Audi are two of my favourites to deal with for sure.
It's the German.
The Germans are fantastic. They love the fact I can sprechen ein little Deutsch.
You speak a little bit of German.
In bisschen. Ein bisschen. That means a little.
I mean, you could say what you like to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. No.
Anyway, sorry, we got distracted there for a second. What I was going to say is that as great as the UK press office are for Audi, I don't like the way they've spec'd that car.
I like the colour. Can I talk?
You can reveal what you said to me basically when you
arrived.
The
elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room.
The ceramic brakes.
Yes.
What a complete waste of money that is.
The Audi hot hatch that turned up last week for me to review is equipped with ceramic brakes.
Yeah.
Now, I should have not revealed the price of that car to you before recording right now and let you guess.
No, I already knew, mate.
Well, you already know.
Long time ago.
What you do.
Yeah. If I didn't, I wouldn't be very good.
But I've been asking everyone on site today, even all the construction workers here who are working on the stuff outside the unit. I was like, guess the price. I've had like 25, 40, 35. The car that I'm driving at the minute, £68,500.
And there are some options it hasn't got as well, by the way. It hasn't got everything. It hasn't got a pan roof.
I didn't even realise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's a Vorsprung car, so I thought it'd be fairly well equipped.
Well, it doesn't look like it's got a
pan. It doesn't have a pan roof. It's got no roof.
Right.
Can you get one on a RS3 Vorsprung?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's an option.
Oh, wow. So it could be a 70K car.
Easy.
Well, anyway, there's a video coming on that this weekend, so I'm not going to say too much more, but all I will say is that price is ludicrous. And it's a shame because I've always loved a hot hatch. I've had a couple of Abarths, but obviously in my earlier years, as revealed a few weeks ago, I've had hatchbacks. And I would love the idea of an RS3, but the minute it costs that much money, for me, it's just ridiculous.
Well, there's only really one other car. It is a hot hatch, but there is only one other car it competes with, and that's the A45S.
Because which is how much in top-ish spec?
So a top spec plus car with everything on them. You can't get them at the minute, obviously. They're late 50s. They might be 60 grand now because the prices have gone up for new cars. But
that makes... I mean, it makes a lot of money. It's still a ton of money. So in my mind, if the car... Because the RS3 starts at just over 55 grand.
Yeah.
So if that car turned up and someone had said to me it was 55 grand, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, the prices are going up of things.
Yeah.
I kind of get it. I don't want it to be that much, but I kind of get it. And an A45S plus at late 50s, I'm like...
I think it looks better, the A45. And I actually think, personally, it's a better achievement in terms of what it's... in terms of power, in terms of what it's got out of that little 2 litre engine, because it's very similar power. In fact, it's the same power. I think they're both 420 horsepower.
That's 400, this one. So this is no more powerful than the previous generation.
It's got more torque.
More torque, and the power is more accessible in the rev range.
Correct, yeah. So the A45's got more power then, because they're 420. Maybe the torque's not quite as good because it's a 4-cylinder, not a 5-cylinder, but there won't be a lot in it. But I just think, and again, I won't talk about it too much because you've got a video going out on it. But I just think the layout of the Mercedes, although I don't really, not really that keen on the infotainment system and the Merc, but I just think the Merc's a nicer place to sit, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
It's a nicer place to be with the two screens and the nice ambient lighting and just, and even the exterior. I just think it looks more beefy than the RS3.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. I lean more towards Audi now that I am back to being an Audi owner and previous years of having Audis too. So I lean more towards Audi than Merc. I like, it sounds weird, but I like the subtlety of the RS3. It's not a subtle car, but it's more subtle than an A45.
Yeah.
By a mile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's slightly, elegant's the wrong word, but a little bit more sophisticated. That's what I kind of err on. But anyway, if you want to hear more of my thoughts and find out why I think it's quite a confused car and maybe it's not actually a hot hatch, and maybe the RS3 is actually not, here's the line, maybe you shouldn't consider the RS3 as a hot hatch anymore at all.
No.
More on that on Sunday. Anyway, let's move on because there's been quite a lot of car news. We obviously, last week, you know, chatting to Max, we kind of missed a few big announcements, a big reveal. So we're going to get through some of them today. Kickstarting with a car which you proclaimed, and I think just to wind me up, is your favorite new car of the year, or maybe the last 18 months, the Lotus, am I going to say this right? Eletra? Eletra, surely.
Oh, the SUV thing.
Yeah,
the it's a great car.
Don't forget the name.
No.
You were going mad about Electra. It last week.
Yeah,
Eletra, yeah. I think, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, that name, but I guess it's electric, just with the tr.
Yeah.
So this is Lotus's first SUV. It's their second all-electric vehicle after the Avaya of this new era. 592-odd horsepower. It's basically the exact same dimensions as the Urus. It actually looks fairly similar. Supposedly, they're going to aim for it to be under 100 grand here in the UK and a range of around 340, 350 miles.
Yeah.
Still development to be done. And the premise that they've gone with is aero, right? That's the whole focus for them has been around aero, and that's going to help reduce drag, which will increase their range, the performance and things like that. The cabin is quite unique and different. It's a lot of the Geely influence. So Geely, who now own Lotus, is a lot of their sort of tech that's come over from...
which is Volvo.
Lincoln Co. and Volvo. Yeah. And they have a lot more specialist electric-only brands in China and other parts of the world that I think have funneled into that Eletra. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like it as necessarily, well, why don't I like it? I don't know. Tell me your thoughts, because we were texting and you were like, this is great.
No, I just think that obviously Lotus couldn't and won't continue in the way that they've historically done. What I mean is not building a lot of cars and not making any money and building cars for the specific person.
Specific. We'll get there one
Thank
day.
Thank you. Yeah. My English. I will do this one day.
I love you, Tony, but that's the one that I just can't let you get away with.
There's a few, isn't there?
There's a few. That's one that I just... Anyway, specific. Pacific's an ocean, but anyway, carry on.
There is an ocean. Yeah. I get corrected every week. And the car is so good. So, yeah, they build a car for that kind of person.
Sure.
Now they're owned by a bigger entity, and... unfortunately, the accountants have looked at it and think, we need to make some money. What can we do? I know, we're going to build an SUV. We can't build a petrol one because regulations have told us that we can't, as in, or we can build a petrol one, but we're not going to build it for long. So let's build a revolutionary electric one, which is what they've done. Now, it kind of contradicts itself a little bit with the aero thing, because it's an SUV. Like, how much aero do you need on an SUV? But everything else about it is pretty cool, you know? So they're going to make that little, is it Amira?
Amira.
That all the Lotus people are going to buy.
Yeah, and then might even convert a few non-Lotus people.
Maybe, yeah.
Hope so.
The Alpine A110 was supposed to do that, and we all know what happened with that car.
I think it's as good as the Amira, but anyway, let's move
on. Okay, yeah. And then you're going to have the mass-produced SUV that's going to hopefully bring some customers from the German and Swedish market. So that will hold the brand up, and then they can still make their little car, and Lotus is saved. Because if they carry on the way they are, Lotus, they're gone.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. They'll be like TVR. Because they just don't make any money. So with that in mind, and from what I've read and stuff, the price point, I think they've actually got right.
Agreed.
Because, again, some of these manufacturers can go stupid. Ferrari, with their incoming SUV, they managed to only just pluck to figure out the sky. So with that in mind, I think they've priced it properly. They've priced it similar to the BMW iX.
I suppose so. That's a good point, actually.
Similar rival. Yeah. It's a similar range and stuff. I think the Lotus looks miles better. I think it looks good inside as well. the one reservation that I will have, and I hope that they bring that from Volvo, is the build quality.
Sure.
But the Germans' build quality is still a step up from the Volvo, even as well.
I'm just going to cut you off. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to. Because I think, don't forget as well, Geely are bigger than Volvo. Fair. So Volvo is a very good point and a very good reference. But what brings confidence to me is that whole group and everything they're doing beyond Volvo and some of their other learnings that, you know, even on my initial inspections of Amira, and I'm a big Avaya fan, I think I've made that very clear on the main channel a lot, I'm very excited by that new direction for Lotus. So I'm hopeful. That's why I wanted to jump in, because I don't want to just use Volvo as like, well, you know, because I'm hoping that Lotus will bring in all these different elements, not just from the sort of Volvo learnings, to be able to rival the Germans.
They will, but they haven't bought Volvo. They've bought Volvo for a reason as well, for their know-how, because they've been in the market forever. So there will be, and as well with other cars that they build in the future, you'll probably see that you'll get a little one of them Electras, and that'll be based on an XC40, and they'll change it. But from the face of it, mate, I think it looks good. The range is potentially good. The interior layout and the way it looks, the quality of finish from what I can see looks pretty good. When I get to see it, I might change my mind. But, you know, I think this is a new chapter for Lotus, and I'm not a Lotus fan, you know.
So far they've done their job, because you're talking about the brand and one of their products positively, which you haven't really done before on this podcast, where I, unfortunately, probably the old school Lotus fan who are like, oh, I don't like change. What's this? That doesn't look lightweight. Which is, of course, and we touched upon this briefly the other week, just chatting between ourselves. You know, brand power, brand value, the fact that realistically, as we move forward and cars become more and more generic or more and more similar, it's going to rely on badge. You know, a badge has always been important. You know, Huracan versus R8 being a prime example. You know, badge value is inherently what is going to sell products moving forward. And Lotus are now in that moment of change, aren't they? You're right. Previously, they've always spoken to a specific buyer, the driver. They're for the drivers. You know, their cars have been
played to a certain audience.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now they're having to open that up, and they want to open that up. And that should be exciting, because Lotus as a brand should be one that we all celebrate. It's a great British brand with incredible heritage and history. And I'm so excited by Amira. As I say, I really love the idea of Avaya and think it's very cool. It's a bit too much for me to swallow a big old Euro-sized SUV electric. The electric park, I think for me, some kind of crossovery Panamera, you know, something a bit more saloon-esque might have settled with me a bit more, but we all know that's not what sells. SUV sells. That's what dominates the world market. Yeah. So they've done everything they should have done. And you're right, on paper, it's like, this is all very encouraging. I think just personally, I'm struggling to get my head around, okay, this is a brand that I've known very well for doing this. It's now going to be doing this. Where does that fit in my mentality?
Well, I mean, to kind of sum it up to the layman, they used to make kit cars, and now they're going to make proper cars because they've now got some money.
So harsh, but I would say an Evora was a proper car. I'd say an Exige was a proper car. I'd say an Elise is a proper car. I'd say an Elan's a proper car. Like, they're all proper cars.
Kit cars.
But kit cars from who? From themselves.
But just all like not very well made. Not like a... And it all depends on the person. I like a car to be perfect and be properly engineered. And I'm not saying mechanically it's not properly engineered, but then they were never put together properly, Lotuses, you know. They were hand-built, and it's a big problem I have with Aston Martin as well for that reason, or Aston, by the way.
Aston Martin.
No, because people get me, so it's not Aston.
Aston Martin.
Aston Martin. that's why I like Porsche. It's why I like modern cars in general, because I know this sounds a bit cliche, but they're built by machines, and machines get them right. So
no, I think Lotus and Lotus owners would be the first to put their hands up and say that, you know, not all Lotuses have been fantastic in the past.
No.
And yes, this new money, this new infrastructure, this new plan should hopefully improve all of that. So electric, I think it's more me, saying I don't like it is harsh. It's more me getting used to the idea of Lotus making an electric SUV. I think that's all it is. So let's wait and see. Lots of hopeful signs that, you know, at least it's pushing Lotus in the right direction. So maybe we'll see that next year at the returning... Going to catch you off guard now.
No, you're not. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Geneva Motor Show. Yeah. It's back!
It's definitely going to come
Apparently,
back.
Apparently, 2023, we'd written it off. We didn't know if it would ever come back again. Cancelled due to COVID and then money and all these different reasons. But supposedly, out of nowhere, the dark horse returns to the race. Geneva Motor Show.
Well, you know what this means?
Well, go on.
It means we've been wrong for the first time.
No, not the first time. No. I think we've been proven to be wrong.
No.
Usually we don't catch ourselves out. No, we're wrong regularly, Tony.
You're wrong.
No, you are also very wrong a lot of the time.
No.
Yeah. Do you remember when you said something stupid about, I've heard those cars have problems. And it's just because one of your mates told you and there was actually no truth to it at all.
Well, that's a lie.
No.
There was some truth to it because it's what you said.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes huge sense because that's what he'd experienced.
What if he was lying?
No, it's what he'd experienced. It's what he'd seen.
It's what you'd heard from one person. You hadn't fact checked it.
I did fact check.
We have been wrong multiple times.
No, you've been wrong multiple times. I'm not wrong.
Okay, let's agree. Ever. Let's agree to disagree. I think the fact you just said that summarizes why you're often wrong. But anyway, so your motor show returns. I'm not excited by that because it's always for me been a bit of a, like if you work in the industry, correct me if I'm wrong, and there's plenty of people here who work at dealerships or within this industry that would attend Geneva Motor Show. It's for me the three most exhausting days of my life. And I actually don't,
I would never go again.
Yeah, I don't find the benefit. Not interested. Because it's a proper work event. And I know lots of you who attend the public days say, well, it's the only chance you get to see a lot of these cars in the flesh. That for us, you know, we get the opportunity to go out and be around these cars, drive these cars, see these cars. So we're spoiled. But I get that. But as someone who works on the working days, it's exhausting. It's a huge amount of ground to cover. It's just an exhausting event.
But what do you mean you don't get to see the cars in the flesh? I mean, just go to your local dealer 6 months later, they'll be in the showroom.
No, some of the special stuff, mate. You know, when they launched Chiron, whatever it was, 6 years ago, and they have the Pagani stand or the roof stand, some limited edition cars, some cars that aren't going to be coming to this market. Even Ferraris, mate. You say go to your local dealership. There are people in this country who don't have a local Ferrari dealership or don't feel welcome or can't go and see stuff.
All right, well then go to your local, go to LA or go to the UK to Dubai.
There you go, guys, that's it. Just fly to LA. If you fancy seeing a new SF90, just fly to LA and go see one.
Well, you don't need to because just go to Knightsbridge and there's millions of them if you live in the UK.
Mate,
so that's just a stupid thing to say.
You're saying I'm stupid. You sound ridiculous.
No, why do I sound ridiculous? If you will see one. See one.
But what if you can't come to Knightsbridge? What if you don't have the money to afford it? What if you don't have the time to do it? What if you just... You can't say to somebody, right, if you want to see a car, get on a train for 100 quid, come down to London and have a pick.
Yeah.
Actually, I've now realised that I'm telling somebody instead to
fly. And it's not even 100 quid.
I'm saying somebody fly to Geneva instead to go see it. But no, my point being... No.
You lost the plot.
No, I'm not.
You can fly somewhere.
No, because sometimes
quid.
You do this where, unfortunately, Tony, you're now so successful and so rich.
You've lost touch
with the common man.
No.
It's true. It's true. And you forget
that. Lost touch with a common man. Bloke that was driven to school in a roller. Are you joking? All my friends are still riffraff.
It was a Range Rover. The point
it was an S-Class the other week.
We literally can spend our time in and around all of these cars. Lots of other people don't get the chance to see them all, firstly, in one place, under one roof. And you're wrong. Okay, fine. Yes, Knightsbridge. Of course, you see the best cars in the world. There's this Chiron, what's it called, Super Sport cruising around at the moment. I mean, the cars are outrageous. But, and lots of parts of the world and in this country, it's very hard to see those cars and people don't always get the chance. So going to the Geneva Motor Shows gives them a chance to see some of the world's craziest, biggest, newest cars.
But if they live in the UK, right, if they live in the UK, it's far cheaper to get to London and see these cars than it is to get to Geneva.
Yeah, no, fine, but... Yes, you'll see them, but it is hit and miss. You can come down on a Sunday. There's no guarantee that you're going to see the brand new Bugatti, the brand new Pagani, the brand new Bentley, the brand new Audi, the brand new BMW, the brand new Mercedes, the brand new... I mean, everything is at Geneva under one roof.
Do it. Oh, you ain't got to all see it in one day,
but that's the whole point of going to the motor show as a member
of
public.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, but as a member of public, you can go to Geneva and see them all in one day. We can't just sit here and say...
Well, if you can't afford to go to Geneva?
Fair. Totally fair.
But what you're basing your argument on.
I'm defending the people that go on the public days and slag us off for saying, oh, it's exhausting, it's too much, it's a crap event, blah, blah. Because they're saying to us, yeah, but you're spoiled because you see these cars, you're around these cars, you work in this
space.
It's
your job.
It's my job, of course. So those that go on the public days and enjoy it, we're jaded. We're a bit jaded. It's the same as if... like you're, I'm trying to think of an example now. Think of a job that you work in and you don't enjoy the day-to-day hustle, but for me, it might be exciting. Do you know? You know what I mean?
All right. So you're in a band. You're a singer in a band.
Yeah, you're a singer in a band, and 75 gigs in, when you're playing the song that you've played 4,000, you have Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. You really think he likes playing "Start Me Up" for the freaking 8 billionth time? Up. Yeah, the audience go crazy, and he's like, like he must just be going, kill me now.
Well, we do this podcast every week and we still enjoy it.
Do we?
Well, I do, everyone.
Anyway, Mona Show's back. Buy your tickets now. Not an ad. One other car we might be seeing there is, have you seen somebody has modified, this is my dream,
oh no,
a Rolls-Royce Cullinan into the ultimate off-road adventure mobile.
Where is that car? Dubai?
I mean, I think that's a render. I don't think that's real. But, I mean, this is the coolest thing ever. You know I love a rally spec off-roading kind of adventure mobile. On a Cullinan, I mean, so that kit costs 150 grand on top of the price of a Cullinan. And name me, I mean, actually, I can think of about three people. All of them live in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. That would do this and use that and go places in it. I would do it if I was really rich, just as like a,
I wouldn't. But see what I mean? This, when you say you're not in touch with your
common people.
I mean, I just would not do that. No chance.
I think even me using the word common is probably incorrect.
Yeah.
That probably shines more for, should be like the average bloke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was bad on me.
Very bad.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
I would say that I am miles more in touch with the average person than you are, for sure.
I disagree, mate. How much is a pint of milk?
Depends where you get it from, but anywhere between 40 and 60p.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is that right, guys?
No, it will be right.
I don't know.
It will, because I live on my own, so I do all my shopping, so I know what's what.
Yeah, I don't look.
Do you do your shopping? Yeah, you don't look. Yeah, because in Waitrose, they change their price every other day.
Yeah, who cares, mate? Just, you know, send the butler and there you go. So we're just going to keep rattling through cars that we may see at next year's Geneva Motor Show, which we might not. Here we go. There's proof. A car. When are you going to see that on Sloane Street?
I wouldn't want to see that. A tent on top of a Cullinan.
Yeah, and bull bars.
I can do that for not less than 150 grand, by the way. So that is basically Rolls Royce thinking.
It's not Rolls Royce. It's a tuner.
Okay, so that's a tuner jumping on the bandwagon and thinking, right, we've got this 350 grand Cullinan. How can we make 50 or 60 grand on top of it? I know. We'll put some wheels on it. We'll jack it up and we'll put a tent on the top.
I don't think it's even that clever. I think they've literally put a tent on the top, put some different wheels on it and a bull bar, and they're charging 150,000 euros.
Yeah.
Oh, no, here you go. 80 mil raised ground clearance via big wheels. So it's just via the big wheels that they've raised the thing. Improved lift from the suspension. The undercarriage and exhaust get some protection. And there's a snorkel.
Good.
I mean, it's made for the world desert. 2.0, here we come.
You've got a snorkel, but there's not any water in the desert.
It's not made for the desert, mate. It's made for...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Any terrain,
right?
It's about adventure,
right?
Living your best life.
What's wrong with a Land Rover.
Absolutely nothing. So yes, moving on to another car, as I say, we might see at Geneva. The Toyota Corolla, where is it? The GR Corolla that launched.
Oh, is that coming to the UK, that
no,
car?
No.
Right.
Unfortunate, isn't it? So I think the Japanese... Not really. Why not?
What, just another hot hatch to fit in somewhere?
Yeah. I agree. No, I don't agree. Like I'm keen. Japanese brands are doing this a lot. It's like the... there's been a few cars that coming out recently launched by Japanese brands which aren't coming to the UK. So clearly we're not a very strong market for them. But... It's GR Yaris, just a bit bigger and a bit more powerful. Mm. You love the GR Yaris?
Well, I do like the GR Yaris, yeah. But if a GR Yaris is 35 grand, what's that going to be? 45 grand?
Yeah, something like that, but
right,
it's not
so
coming
one of
here,
them so. Or a Golf R? I mean, are you well?
I am, thank you.
Or an S3? Or take yeah, your pick, or an A35, or an M135? I mean, the list goes on, mate.
Okay, so Giulia Quadrifoglio or M3?
New M3.
Well, that's annoying of you to say. But I mean, like, the point being
old,
is...
Old one, Quadrifoglio.
Okay, well, there you go. Sometimes it's nice to choose something different, mate.
Yeah.
So you're saying, oh, well, why not just go and get an S3? But because you want something different. S3 is a bit too standard, a bit too obvious.
But you've got to be mentally unstable to spend 45 grand on a Corolla. I don't care what it's got on it or in it.
Or what about the Yaris?
But the Yaris is a bit different. It's a proper homologation car with two diffs, and it's a bit special. I mean, originally, I absolutely crucified that car until I actually realised what stuff it had on it. Because I thought... Because I didn't listen. Yeah. That's the only thing I've ever got wrong, by the way. Mm-hmm. And...
300 horsepower Golf R rival.
Yeah. No, thank you. So Toyota or Volkswagen? I mean, you're talking about brand.
No, but what do you mean?
Value.
But Toyota is insanely strong. They're a huge player in the
not
world
not in this
market.
Country because it ain't they're coming here.
Yeah, fair. incredibly reliable. Like the performance we're seeing from the GR brand, the Gazoo Racing brand, which they're rolling out as their R or RS or yeah. AMG. Like that's the whole point of this. It's a souped up version. Why not? Can this be considered? If you're giving Hyundai their break with their N, you know, i30N, i20N. No, fine. But if you're saying that they're good and allowed to do that, this is another player within that space.
Yeah.
It's 45 grand because that's what's a Golf R. We've been talking about these prices loads.
Yeah, a fully spec Golf R will be 45 grand, but I know what I'd rather be in, and so would the general UK market, because that's why I ain't coming here.
I wouldn't. I'd pick this over a Golf
R. But you're peculiar, mate.
Yeah, but there are peculiar people out there.
Yeah, but there's only two. You and Paul Wallace. And Paul Wallace would have to think about it for 8 months.
He would. He would never make a decision because he doesn't buy cars particularly quickly.
Well, he won't buy that because it's a manual, by the way.
Toyota have yet to confirm performance figures, but expect 0-62 time nudging 5 seconds.
Wow. Golf
R's 4.5. The top-rung circuit edition is equipped with a pair of Torsen differentials for improved grip, just
brilliant.
Like the GR Yaris.
Brilliant.
Power sent to both axles through 6-speed manual gearbox, as in the GR Yaris, with an intelligent manual transmission function. It's basically the GR Yaris that's bigger, mate.
Yeah.
So it has got clever kit on it.
Yeah. What's wrong with the GR Yaris then at 10 grand cheaper?
Because it's bigger and more powerful. What's wrong with an S1 instead of an S3?
But bigger and more powerful, by the time you do power to weight, I bet there ain't a lot of difference in it.
You're annoying me today.
No. There's only 30 horsepower difference, 35 horsepower difference. And
40, I think.
Right, and then the weight difference on the Corolla compared to the Yaris
would
be significant.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're boo-hooing any car. Like, I understand your point. I understand your point. And you're right, most people don't want these Japanese or Italian equivalents. It's why we've seen non-German brands struggle to compete with BMW, Mercedes and Audi, those powerhouses.
Volkswagen.
Some people do want something different. And secondly, you can't sit there and constantly say, you know, why would you have that instead of that? So take, for example, like an S8 versus an S6. You know, every car has its own space within a brand's lineup and therefore can have a spicier version.
But no one buys an S8 or an S6. They buy an RS6
okay, or
an RSQ8.
Well, but help me with an example. You can't just say... Don't get the Corolla because you can get the Yaris.
Why should I help you with an example? It's your argument.
Because you've got to realise.
I realise.
No, you don't. Hold on. I'm going to... Give me a moment.
I'm
going to think of a very good example right now.
While you're thinking, right? Because a GR Yaris, right? Just to give you...
An M340i instead of a M540i?
Why an M340i instead of a... Because an M... 340i as an all-round package is better than who buys an M? You might as well just buy the 530 petrol.
Why don't you buy the 330 petrol?
Because people, why did you buy the X3 M340i instead of a 2 litre one?
Because you want different.
No, mate, you're deluded. So a GR Yaris mm-hmm. is completely different to any mini hot hatch. It's and originally, when it came out, I poo-dooed it because I thought, why is this car 10 or 15 grand more than a Fiesta ST, which is the benchmark for a little hot hatch until the Yaris come out, right? The Yaris is completely... You haven't got me. The Yaris is completely different, right? Mm-hmm. It's there on its own. You bring that Corolla into the market and it's just another... All right, it's got two diffs, but it's just another five-door manual hot hatch that sits in the market with the German cars at the same money... And it's not as good, which is why they won't bring it into this country.
Okay, I definitely am not arguing with you about picking a Corolla versus a German car.
So what are you arguing for?
Is you said, don't get the Corolla, just get the Yaris. And so why would you... So it's Focus ST versus Fiesta ST.
No, it's not.
No. Just for a second. You're claiming the Yaris is more special than the Corolla. You're claiming that the Yaris is more unique, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, save the money and get the more unique car.
I didn't claim it's more. I'm just saying, what's the point?
What's the point in getting a Focus over a Fiesta?
Because more room.
Boom.
No.
Corolla's got more room.
Well, yeah, it has got more room, but there's lots of other cars in the market that you can buy.
But that's not the point. Wait, stop. No,
that's the point. Stop. I don't really know what you're trying to say to me.
Because my point, you said, instead of getting the Corolla, just save your money and get the Yaris. Okay, that was what you said.
What I actually said
No.
Buy the Golf or the S3.
Which I agree, fine. Right. I don't agree, but so I understand.
I don't really understand what we've argued.
Because you did say... Instead of the Corolla, save the money, get the Yaris. You said that. I can rewind it on here in a second.
Okay, so it's 10 grand cheaper. So just don't listen to him, listen to me.
So why get a Focus? Just save the money and get a Fiesta. You hit the nail on the head, but the Focus has got more room. So does the Corolla. Right. So if you want slightly more room, get the Corolla.
Right, so you're paying 12,000 quid more for a bit more room, whereas the difference between the Fiesta and the Focus...
You've made that price up, by the way. It's completely unconfirmed. So you have no idea what the Corolla's going to cost.
What do you mean?
You don't know how much the Corolla's going to cost.
You keep saying 12 grand more. So you think it's going to be 35 grand, do you?
Corolla price. We don't know because it's not coming here.
Right. But so do you think... But if it can...
Corolla GR Sport is 27. So $45,000. So that's less. That's 38 grand or something like that.
Right. Plus some... And that'll be... There'll be some options. So, all right, it won't be 45, be 42. So that's 10,000 quid more.
What's the spec'd up Yaris?
33.
No, it's not with the circuit pack.
Yeah, 33 and a half maybe.
Hold on.
Mate, I know. I sort of do this for a living.
All right. Okay, well, look, we're going to leave this here. But I just, my point to you, which I think you're still not going in, I agree with the segment, but my disagreement is that a manufacturer that makes an A1, an A3, an A5, an A6, a Yaris, a Corolla, I don't know what goes above that because I don't know my Toyotas, they all have the same. We could sit here for days and argue, well, just make one car, make one hot hatch, make one saloon, make one estate, make one SUV.
From another angle there, just to narrow it down for you, because for a privately educated man, you're clearly not all there.
Come on.
A GR Corolla is for a Pacific person. A Golf R and S3 reaches everyone. So that would be the fundamental difference between the two.
Why is there a Golf and a Polo? Why not just save the money and get the Polo?
Because they're for space.
Okay,
and because you want to be more grown up.
That's the end of the conversation.
But why did you spend 10,000 quid, mate?
For space.
10,000 quid for space?
Yeah, for space.
That's literally the point I'm making.
Okay. I do a little bit agree here because you spent 30,000 quid more for a daily car than you needed to just for a boat.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so you agree with
me.
So there are some
peculiar people out there. No, I don't agree with it because I wouldn't do it. But there are some peculiar people out there.
So you would save money. You would give up on space and practicality to save a bit of money.
No. there's other cars in the segment. I just wouldn't buy one of them Corollas and buy Golf or an S3 or anything else but one of them boxy things.
It's not the point. It's Corolla versus Yaris.
It's not.
It's the only conversation we're having because the point you made is save the money and get the Yaris. Do you want me to rewind this and play it back to you?
But if
that's the point you made. I'm not talking about...
Out of them two.
Yes, just Corolla versus Yaris. I said, forget any other car exists.
I'll have the Yaris.
Because you don't want to spend the money on the space. Even if you needed the space.
I don't need the space.
You needed the five doors. Let's say you did. You needed five doors and you needed the additional space.
I'm not buying the Yarison. I'll buy a Golf R or an S3. What?
You keep forgetting the... It's pure... There's no other cars exist. We are in a world where you can only have the Yaris or the Corolla. No other cars exist.
I'm walking. I'm not having... If they're the only two...
We're moving on.
...in the world.
We're moving on. So...
We'll get a bus.
Did you see Harry's Garage, Harry Metcalf, absolute legend, had a pretty amazing opportunity recently to spend a few days or a week with a Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport.
Oh, I saw a tweet on Twitter, but I haven't watched it, no.
So this car was very kindly lent to him by a guy who's been in and around, he's a sort of a famous, I guess you could call him, collector in and around London. A lot of the car spotters have known him from a while because his cars are very iconic. He's joined Instagram in the last, I don't know what year, maybe. I think it's Frank H Racing, maybe. An incredible car collection. Unbelievable car connection. Clear petrol head. Uses his cars a hell of a lot. Like properly dailies things like Chirons. And he's a big fan of Harry, as we all are. And so lent him this Pure Sport to basically just go and have fun in.
Lives in London,
yeah. I'll tell you a few of his cars offline because I don't know how private he was. Forever super private, and now he's on Instagram, so I don't really know what's shareable or not. So I'll tell you about that afterwards. But anyway, you can go and find him on Instagram. I just mentioned his handle. So he lends Harry this car, and Harry, being Harry, just delivers the ultimate Harry's Garage video, which reminded me of his old Evo Diary days. Do you remember early Harry's videos online? So no. when he was still involved with Evo, he used to do these Evo diaries where he would go off and do basically what he's doing now, but for Evo. And he did the collection of his Pagani, he did the 509 SAE Aperta collection with his mate, he did the Mille Miglia in his 550 Barchetta, and they're just literally the Harry's Garage videos before they're branded that way. But I had that feeling. So he walked around the car in his unit, and then he took it up through Wales, basically, and back down. And it's kind of the trips that I guess we all dream of. Like, how often do any of us get chucked the keys to a Chiron, let alone a Pure Sport, and said, go have fun and put 1,000 kilometers on the clock and who cares? And it really surprised me what he said about that car, because I think we've spoken about it before. I don't necessarily think of the Chiron as like a driver's car, right? For me, that's a long distance grand tourer and the kind of ultimate middle finger if you want to turn up anywhere. Because it doesn't matter really who you are. If you see a Bugatti badge in this modern age, you're like, success.
Yeah. And if you want to launch someone on the motorway and you're in one of them, good luck. I mean, you can't catch one.
Oh yeah, like the performance is still outrageous. Of course, over the last, oh God, when did Veyron launch? 2008, four. Bloody hell. So ever since then, manufacturers have been working to catch up, and you've got the likes of Koenigsegg and maybe not so much Pagani, but you know, LaFerrari, P1, 90, lots of things that have come close. But Chiron is still, I think, the big daddy.
Chiron's still the fastest car. I think it's still got the record again.
I'm sure it does, but I don't want to get into that because someone will tell me some random Koenigsegg on special tyres reached or...
I think this new Chiron has...
The Super Sport, I think.
Recently...
330 or whatever.
Yeah, broke the record. I think that's the car to beat at the moment.
Anyway, but I always think of it as a long distance car, or as I say, the ultimate FU when you turn up at a restaurant or something like that. So I didn't think it'd be great to attack a Welsh B road in, but he is just... what's the word I'm thinking of? Emphatic about it. Now, the Pure Sport's supposed to be the driver's version. It's slightly stiffer, slightly more focused. And you get a slight insight. They do a few clips driving up to, I think he's off to visit a garage or something like that, a workshop. But then it's the way he summarizes the drive back, which apparently he did, as the sun was going down, the roads were empty. And he says it's one of the best driving experiences, top five driving experiences he's ever had in the UK in March through Wales in a Bugatti Chiron. And I can kind of understand why. You know, I think, I say for me, that's a halo car.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Go and watch it. And but I'd like to know your thoughts.
I mean, I will go and watch it now you said that, but just sitting in one of them things makes like your hair stand on end. It is just one of them cars, mate. And it's rare, even for me. And I don't really look at them hyper cars because like that. One, because I can't have one. And two, like, I think sometimes it's a bit of willy waving. But that car is like, it's a bit like what an Enzo is to me. Like, it's just something really, really special. And I've not driven one. I've not been in one while it's been driving, but I've sat in one. And, like, it's hair on back of head sort of thing.
That's, it's everything you want it to be and expect it to be, and yeah. what it should be. You know, that car is a sort of celebration of engineering, modern yeah. day engineering, and what is capable and what's. And you look at all these other brands, and I say, I know that they are capable, especially on top speed. You know, Koenigseggs, some Paganis, if you really want to look at it. Even Ferraris, Porsches, everything like that. But what the Volkswagen Group have done with Bugatti and those cars is just perfect engineering. All the details within the car, the way they perform, their capabilities, the abuse they can take, everything. It's just fantastic.
And it does it in a bit of style and a bit of comfort as well, because I know there might be other cars that are just as quick, but I bet they rattle your brain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that Veyron.
Chiron.
At 250 mile an hour or however fast you want to be, I bet
rocks
me and you
on
could have a conversation in it, you know?
I drove, not the pure sport, but I drove the sport, the Chiron Sport. I can't, anyway, I drove one in Florida, in Miami, during Drive the World. The terrifying thing about it was, is that you go 120 miles an hour and you have no idea.
Yeah.
It is such a non-event in the nicest way. It's yeah. it's a bullet train.
Yeah.
It's rock solid.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's loud, it's a proper car, but you just, yeah, anyway, it's super impressive. And I was just so pleased. I was so worried he was going to get out and say, actually, out here, it's big, it's a bit cumbersome, I can't use any of the power, I'm currently waiting for the sort of the lag-ish to go. Like, I just, but he didn't. He just said it was absolutely incredible, an amazing experience, and awesome to drive. And it was a great video. And yeah, as I say, just super happy with the what he explained. So similar to him doing a big adventure through Wales, I obviously just did a big adventure in the RS6 up to Scotland.
You did, yeah.
Slightly unexpectedly. Supposed to be going up an M5 CS. Might still be at Harry's garage, I don't really know. He's been posting pictures of it.
I'm still like, got it.
That's where it is. So wasn't planning on taking the RS6, but actually it was a really interesting experience.
So it's for me.
Well, there we go. So fuel, let's not talk about it for a second. But I was like, okay, this is the ultimate test for me because it's going to give me a chance to really spend, I'm going to spend 3 days in this car, big mileage, big usage. Like, what's going to be my feeling as I properly get to bond with it? And actually, I feel much more enamored with that car than I did before I went.
At peace with it.
Yeah, just like I bonded with it a bit.
Yeah.
The bit that I think I was getting wrong is I was trying to thrash that car. You know, it's an RS6. I was like, oh, yeah. So every time I saw B-Road, I was like, yeah, come on, like, let's have it. And I was like, oh, but it's still just big and heavy and a bit lurchy and a bit of a boat. And I was like, oh, I don't really get what everyone's singing about. It doesn't feel that fast and it's just a bit of noise and a lot of fuel being burnt. But actually, loading it up with fuel, using it for the weekend, sightseeing, cruising around, getting it. I was like, I kind of get you now.
It's a jack of all trades car, mate. It sort of does it. It does sort of do everything.
Except the Titan Twisties. I'm sorry. I'm just going to come and say it's not comfortable, mate. It's not comfortable on the Titan Twisties. If I was with you or trying to keep up with some kind of sports, I wouldn't be happy. It's a bit nauseating.
Yeah.
It is at its best cruising.
But well,
cruising fast.
That's what an M5 does better than an RS6.
I would agree with you there. Having
the twisty stuff.
Yeah. I mean, M5 CS, I'm sure, is another level, but M5 competition.
Yeah.
On the twisty stuff, it's better because I've had the chance to do that a few times. And yeah, it's just not that car, the RS6. So as just a wafter, a very fast, very powerful wafter, it is really, really good.
But you know what? You know people that buy RS6s? A lot of them used to be Range Rover customers. So they're Range Rover SVR customers and stuff like that. And they're fed up with that product. And they've gone back to the estate car because SUVs, although as common as they are, some people like a bit of change. And I honestly think that there's quite a lot of people that buy RS6s. And I bet they've had Range Rover Sports in the past and they just want something a bit faster. And quite a lot of people use that car not for what you use it for. You know, they just use it for pottering around and, yeah, they go to their mums down the south coast at some point, and they'll go down, they'll fill the boat up, or they go on a camping holiday in it, and it's got not quite as much room, but nearly as much room, and it's a bit more cool, and it holds its money, and it's got something about it. But you can have all your family and your dog in it as well. So, you know, I really think that that's what that car's for, essentially.
I would agree with you. I mean, so the only thing that I had been thinking or analysing during the trip, and a few people have commented on my video, is firstly, would the RS4 have actually, long story short, been a better fit for me? Would it have been more dynamic on the Titan twisties? Would it have been just as capable in every other area? And because the only thing that I look at it is, I'm very aware of the mileage I'm doing the RS6. I think inherently because of the value, the car was bloody expensive to buy. It's expensive to finance. And yes, they hold their value well. And there are plenty of cars on the market, so, you know, advertised at least, with big miles and not horrifically less than what I paid. Who knows what the true values of them are. But I am just aware of it. I am aware of depreciation in that car, probably because of the cost. So an RS4, half the money.
70 grand.
70 grand odd. Would it have been less of a thought for me? Would I have been more comfortable? Would it have been better at fuel? Would it have been slightly more dynamic? All these different things. And it's a fair point. It's definitely a fair point. But I don't know if it would have felt as special.
Well, it wouldn't. It definitely wouldn't have felt as special. And if you was going to go down to an RS4, I mean, I don't think they're that dynamically very good either. I mean, if you want a dynamic car, you want a BMW.
Well, I don't really. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really. It was just that I thought the RS6 was going to be dynamically amazing.
Yeah, and for its size, it is. But, you know, like spending 75 or 70,000 quid on an RS4, as good as they are, like for 50,000 quid, you can have a M340i Touring, which, okay, is not quite as good as an RS4, but it will do 8 out of 10 things the RS4 does, mate. So, you know, me personally, as you know, I know you wanted a boot car, but I would have saved 30,000 quid and bought the M5.
I know you would have, yeah. I know you would have, yeah. No, so, it definitely helped me bond with the RS6. Yeah. I had been wavering a bit and I've been very vocal about that. I'm still not like, oh yeah, it's a keeper forever because of the finances, and the fuel. I have to talk about the fuel. The fuel is making it very hard to live with on a day basis at the moment, but I definitely feel like I've bonded with it. And the only thing I want to touch on very quickly is that a lot of people continue to suggest chopping it in for a Taycan, because every time I, you know, moan about the fuel, they go, just go and get a Taycan Cross Turismo or Sport Turismo. Now, I do sometimes think of that because I love Porsche and I love the Taycan, and full disclosure, as a business, it makes a lot more sense to lease or finance an electric vehicle because you get a lot of benefits from the government for it.
Yeah, so you do,
it's sort of in inverted commas, it's cheaper to me as a business to have a Taycan. But that trip was a prime example, right? So left here at 4 p.m., like 5 p.m. or something like that, unexpectedly, had to drive up to Scotland. That was a 6.5 or 7 hour drive that first day. So that would have, how many miles was it? 384. So I would have had to have had a charge at least in the Taycan if I was fully charged. I wouldn't have been fully, because the RS6 wasn't fully fueled up. I wasn't expecting to go anywhere. So I maybe would have had to have done a charge and then another charge halfway up.
Mm.
So that's probably going to have added 2 hours onto that journey. So that suddenly becomes a 9 hour drive up to my hotel.
At least, mate, by the way, because you can't go quite as quick in an electric car.
No, but I'm on the motorway. So just the cruise up. Yeah, I'm sitting at the speed limit, the cruise up. Let's say a Taycan on full charge can do 280, 300 miles, let's say.
No chance.
Well, 250 or 260.
No.
Like, on a motorway cruise?
Yeah, like 220. Tops.
Okay.
My friends have got them.
Oh, okay. Fine. So definitely a couple of charges. Yeah. So that would have made the drive up tough. And then the most important one was the day that I spent sort of off the grid in Scotland, because Scotland famously doesn't have a lot of recharge points. And even though we didn't go that high up, that day would have been a headache because I was out filming properly. I was in the middle of nowhere. I wanted to use a bit of performance. So again, I would have been screwed. We then stayed in a cabin off the grid, so there would have been nowhere to charge overnight. So that would have stressed me out. And then the next day we had to bomb it straight back down to London, which was another 9 hour drive. So I would have been stressed about finding somewhere to charge.
Could have charged it in the cabin.
No, I couldn't because it was off the grid. We were an off-the-grid cabin,
so you wouldn't have
the ability to charge. So that's exactly it. So it then would have been an 11-hour drive minimum back down. So, look, don't get me wrong. I do think about Taycan a lot, and I think this year, as things unfold with the cars that are going to be in my garage and the cars that I have use of, swapping the RS6 at some point down the line for a Taycan Cross or Sport Turismo might be an option if I'm just using it as my daily in and around town.
Yeah.
Because I've got something else that I can use on the longer trips. That may be happening later this year. We've got to stay tuned on that. But right now, when I got the 360, an F-Type R convertible, I couldn't have the Taycan only because I can't really do family trips in a 360 or the F-Type R convertible.
No.
It's a bit too much, so... Anyway, just a little food for thought.
I think it's a proper car, that RS6.
It is. I'm definitely bonding with it.
It's a real great car.
Just the finances of it.
Yeah.
And the slight fact that it's the ultimate daily that's actually not that good as a daily. Do you know what I mean? Because of the fuel and some other bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We've had a few technical glitches, which I was anxious about, but I think we've somehow made it through. We've made it through somehow, fingers crossed. So if you've enjoyed it and you're watching here on the YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications. Next week, we're going to be discussing a little road trip that you and I are going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Easter weekend and Tony and I are off
into
the continent.
Yeah. The continent.
So we'll be having a few stories, I'm sure, to share about that, including whatever car Tony's bringing. Because I'm taking the 360 and he won't tell me what car he's turning up in.
Are you definitely going to take the 360?
1,000,000%.
It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say touch wood because it was sitting in a workshop for 3 months, which it never likes doing. But I've used it 3 or 4 times in the last week and it's been totally fine. So touch wood, we should be all right.
Well,
has your car got enough boot space in case I have to join you?
There's loads of room in my car, mate.
Great, okay.
Loads of seats. There is plenty of room in my car. God, don't worry about it.
What are you up to? So yeah, we'll be discussing all of that. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, keep following and listening. I think you can subscribe on some of those platforms. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms. And yes, we'll be back with you for another episode next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.